Hello? Did you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Just a little, yes. Well, you want an update on Haiti?
Yes, during the last, yes, since we last spoke.
Well, last week there was a storm that killed about six people who were on the rain. As your audience know, we have about almost 2 million people, from 1.7 to 2 million people on the streets who are homeless, who've been homeless for 9 months, and we're in the hurricane season. It's been raining solid for days, a storm hit, and about six people are said to have been killed. I have bigger numbers, but that's the numbers that the official UN and the Haitian government are sticking to.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
8,000 tents have been, you know, were blown away, and folks are out in the elements.
So 2 million people are homeless, 3,000 tents have been blown away, and a storm. So while the Haitian people are really going through it and having a really suffering time, and I'm sure everybody, and as I speak on behalf of all of our listeners, we'd like to send out, you know, our heartfelt sympathy to the same pain and suffering that everybody in Haiti is going through, and give thanks for people like you that are on the ground working hard. In terms of getting America out of Haiti, has there been any progress in the last week?
Okay, I heard money, I heard America.
Are they out? No.
Sorry.
We were just wondering how things were going in that respect.
Okay. Oh, I see. All right. None of the major world powers or developing countries, however you would like to call them, have provided any of the pledges that they made, including the United States, which pledged 1.15. So it's my understanding as of this date that only something like 15% of that money, which is, I think, $5.3 billion, has actually been put into a fund. But none of it really has yet reached Haiti. The excuse that the U.S. is giving, as you know, there's a lot of very big-name U.S. Former presidents and so forth who are part of this Haiti relief effort. So we have President Clinton, who is at the UN as special envoy. Of course, you know, his wife is the Secretary of State, and she was the one that actually pledged the $1.15 billion on behalf of the United States. They're saying that there's a Republican congressman by the name of Tom Corbin, and he is the lone person that's stopping some of the money in the United States that has been approved. Obviously, you know, we at the Haitian Lawyer Leadership don't believe any of that. And I've written a piece, which your audience can certainly go read to know more about it. It's called I Can't Stand the Rain, mm-hmm. and it's on my Esli Dantel blog. And obviously, you know why we have that title, because it's raining solid. There's about 2-3 inches of rain on the floor. People can't sleep. 2 million people can't sleep anywhere because of the rain. Children are shivering. And what we really, the United States, is saying is that this money hasn't been released because one congressperson is concerned that as part of the release of this money, the United States has asked for a new office in Haiti. In addition to everything else we have the UN, we have Mr. Clinton, who has an office in Haiti as reconstruction relief. Now they're asking for, they're tying into this $1.15 billion a Haiti coordinator. And this senator is saying that that's just too much. They don't need another coordinator. They have the U.S. ambassador. And supposedly that's what's holding up the U.S. money in Congress. But
okay, so what can we do?
That is just an excuse.
Yes.
The failure of disaster capitalism. You know, you and I and folks like you who are listening to understand very well, or starting to see very well, that it is U.S. policy to starve Black and brown countries. It is U.S. policy to depopulate. And they will do it by any means necessary. And that's really what they're doing.
Absolutely. So what can we do to push and make sure and bring forward the time and the date when that money is released? Because if it's there for this purpose and they're holding it with excuses, is there something that we can do?
Well, we have to understand very clearly that the money that the United States and all these other European countries pledged to Haiti was never intended to be spent on Haiti. It was intended to be spent on their own domestic people, on their own corporate people. I'm not talking about little farmers or little shipping companies. I'm talking about big agribusiness. This is disaster capitalism. This is poverty business. This is the way they make their money. So if we die, they make their money. That's just the way it is. And first we have to understand that. Once we understand that, then we don't deal with the distractions. As I said to the audience last week, we find one Haitian family, one Haitian-led organization. We help our own people. Mm. We stand up for our own people. I can't stress that any further.
So we're not going to think about that money?
Yeah, no, just don't think about that money. That money is not intended for us. It's not intended for our people. It's intended for big agribusiness where they go buy their food and then they dump it into Haiti and then it ends up being sold someplace else. It's money that goes to American shippers that are going to bring that food in. It's American construction companies that are going to come in at some point in time. But first, you know, they have to work out their little monopolies and what they want to do and how they're going to get rid, either by death, neglect, or the people are going to somehow figure out go someplace else so that they can build their casinos and their tourist complexes and all the places that they want the people gone from the capital.
Okay, can I just inform the viewers that this is Bantu Radio and we're speaking to Sister Zilly from Haiti, human rights activist on the ground trying to get America out of Haiti and bring her people up from the devastation of the earthquake and the storm and all the other things that are going on and the destruction that America is bringing upon them. So we big you up, Sister Zilly, and Bantu Radio listeners. Support. You can sign into Bantu Radio chat room and you can donate from there. You can contact Sister Zilly. Could you just remind us of your email address again, Sister Zilly?
Yes, please. You can go onto our website, which is ezilidanto.com. That's ezilidanto.com. And, of course, you know, you go under the law section, which is where there's going to be a donation button where you can donate so we can continue to do the work. I can tell you right now, if you go to the Ezli Dental blog, we've asked folks to donate to a particular, to Raya Doe, which is a particular school that we're working with in Haiti right now. We ask folks to take, you know, if you don't have any money, here's what you can do. You can circulate the information. We can try together to change the narrative. Hmm. So folks really understand that that's the first thing I think that has to be understood. African countries and Haitian countries and Haiti, everyone has to change the narrative. Hmm. That this is never about, aid is never about helping African countries. Just like, you know, the United States wants Africa to export good and not feed its own people. That's exactly what they want for Haitians. You know, they want to use your land to export goods for themselves. They want to use your labor as unfair wages in order to build, you know, their assembly plants and give corporate welfare to their people. That's our only use to them. Once we understand that narrative and then we go to the citizens of the world who won't stand for these policymakers' way of life and profit over people paradigm, that's when we're going to change the difference for the whole planet. Because right now, you know, Haiti's just a sign and a symbol. The worst of it, because obviously Haiti has no big military ally. It's just in a hostile American Mediterranean, subject to all the bullying, subject to all of the brutality of the Western Empire. So we see all of it in Haiti. It is a reflection of what's going on wider in the wider world.
So, Sister Zilly, could you tell me something nice that happened this week in Haiti to lift us to know that our efforts and our thoughts have some positive effect?
Nice. Many people woke up this morning. There's still hope because we're still here.
Excellent. We give thanks. I give thanks for that. What we're planning to do here on Bantu Radio is on the new moon, which is the 8th of October, is that we're all going to have a massive meditation where we're meditating on Haiti for Haitians, Haiti for Haitians. So that's the new moon. And here in England, it's going to be about midnight on the 8th of October. What time will it be in Haiti?
It's like 3:30
in the afternoon.
In the afternoon. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know, you know, what your time is, but
our time is 9:30. So 6 hours difference.
Yes. Yes. So that's, you know, I also want to say this is for us Haitians. We've had 500 years of this treatment.
Mm.
So we are here, and we're still here, and we are the living libraries of the African enslaved who first were enslaved into this new world, so-called. So the fact that we're still here, and the fact that we haven't been destroyed, and the fact that Vodun and sacred energies and our ancestors mm-hmm. is still what we look to for the strength and the courage to face what we face, the terror that we face every day, is our success. And I always say that if the whole, because, you know, there's only a minority in the world doing this. I mean, the Western world and their folks are minorities. They're minority in the world. They're only able to do this because they have taken over this narrative that makes as if somehow they're the majority and their culture is the most advanced and most civilized.
Yeah, and they sell it every time, yes.
And they sell it. They sell,
mm-hmm.
it.
They sell it in Hollywood, they sell it in the newspapers, they sell it in the books, they sell it in the news, they sell it.
Ad nauseum. And see, yes. You know, someone told me today that, there's something in the news last week about how the United States just apologized to Guatemalans because they had done experiments on the Guatemalan people in the 1940s where they purposely infected them with STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. And President Obama just apologized to the Guatemalans for it and vowed that somehow now it's not going to happen again.
Right, and so the apology came in words, but what other way? Or was
exactly.
it just, was there any other way the apology was expressed?
That's it. He just apologized. And some Guatemalan courageous individual said, well, we're thinking about suing. And then all of a sudden, the next day, he made a retraction because of the pressure he got. This is similar to a couple of months ago, ex-president Clinton apologized for destroying Haiti's food sovereignty. 30 years ago, Haitian farmers, which make about 6 million of the 10 million people in Haiti, were able to feed the whole country. But U.S. decided that Haitian labor was more important for its assembly plants. And so it did not, and in order to do that, it had to impoverish the Haitian farmers by dumping subsidized agribusiness rice into Haiti, which was cheaper and which threw the farmers out of business. Now, that was an empty apology, as you know, because here he is saying, you know, we apologize for doing this and losing you 830,000 jobs in the rural areas. And the people actually had to go into the cities looking for factory jobs. And, of course, you know, on January 12th, they met with the earthquake and on an overcrowded capital. But these apologies for these particular heinous sort of policies are glib. And,
they mean
and just
nothing.
Like Guantanamo, yeah, because, you know, there is an American policy, and Africans and people worldwide, it's a policy of depopulation because they do believe, and this is written, it's called MS-2000, it's the Kissinger Memorandum of 1975, and it says that it is an American interest to depopulate the world so that they can be the ones to use the resources that they want from the so-called third world. And so this is a policy. So when they come around and they say it's because Republican Congress person, this one lone Republican senator is holding up the aid, we know all of it is theater, political theater. This apology that Obama just gave to Guatemalans, it's only because they got caught. If they hadn't been caught,
they would never have apologized.
And so right now, for instance, there is a WHO, World Health Organization, vaccination campaign in Haiti. We say always and all the time, somebody should absolutely take a sample and put it and send it to a lab, because we know the history. The history goes back way before World War II, before it was called eugenics back in the day,
yeah.
White supremacy. Now, you know, it's called
family planning,
they're giving it all aid. They call it foreign aid right now.
Foreign aid, family planning.
It is the continuation of the U.S. policy,
yes,
to destroy black and brown for their resources and for their labor and to maintain them. And that's what we have to understand.
Yes.
If you don't understand that narrative, we will buy all their distractions.
We will buy that nonsense. Can I just ask, is there any support for Haiti from the Caribbean or Africa?
I heard Caribbean.
And
Caribbean
Africa.
Are
you getting any support, whether spiritually, physically?
Well, there are a lot, and I have to say, there's a lot of folks, you know, not the big organizations, not the entrenched organizations, that have a lot of compassion for what's going on in Haiti. And I mean, the whole world right now is going into an economic recession, and everyone has their own sort of sufferings and so forth. So there are, you know, I work with Haitian-led organizations, and I see people of all nationalities involved in these efforts, and they're doing a Herculean sort of job in saving lives and keeping people alive. So that's not to say that that is not happening. I'm saying that the institutionalized destruction of, you know, black civilization, the black woman's child, is something that's moving forward. And it's being, and I see it because of the work that I'm doing in Haiti right now. But in terms of, you know, who we are, what we are, and what we bring to the world, it is something extraordinary that Haitians do every day. And that is that, you know, although we face a lot of brutality, you have never seen, Haitians are the most peaceful people in the world. I mean, there's more violence in Jamaica, in the Dominican Republic, in Mexico, in Colombia, even in the United States than there is in Haiti. But yet, once that earthquake hit, and the 10,000 NGOs that were in Haiti, you know, were traumatized and went back to their countries, immediately the United States went to the Congo, they went to Rwanda, they went to all the places where they had others, and they all flew into Haiti, and they gave them what they called unsafe wages, extra wage upon their regular wages, because supposedly Haiti is some sort of a unsafe place. But the statistics show that there's less violence in Haiti than the whole of the Caribbean, and we all know that everyone vacations in the Caribbean. The only difference between us and the remaining Caribbean islands is that we are not anybody's territory. Jamaica is still a territory and a possession of the British Crown. Martinique and others, French Crown. You see, we have none. We have no parents. So we're sort of free for all. Everyone comes in, and all the nationalities are trying to take advantage
take control.
Of the Haitians. And so that's why That's why we're in this unique position compared to other places in the Caribbean, because they already own the places in the Caribbean. But in Haiti, you have 6 million farmers with their own little plots that they, they have oceans and mountains, and you know, black people are not supposed to have that.
Hmm.
You see, that's the whole thing. They keep saying we are the poorest, but you see, it's only poorest in accordance to their belief.
Hmm.
Okay. Yes. You know, when you own your own land, you can go out and you can raise your own livestock and your own food, and you can live a decent lifestyle, which Haitians did for 200 years. But when the United States decided that they were going to destroy this way of life of the peasants in Haiti, then that began this process of pushing them into the cities in order to work in U.S. factories.
Mm.
But this is a small, tiny island. This island is smaller than the state of Rhode Island. It has 10,000 people in it who actually own something that's theirs. But because IMF and the World Bank doesn't count the land of the peasants as property or collateral, then they all supposedly are poor, because no one's going to lend them any money on the basis of land that they've had for 300 years, 200 years since independence. So that's why I say it is us black folks that must put value on our own, you see?
Absolutely.
And so once you start doing that, then you know, it doesn't look so bad as it is, because it isn't. When you have your own land, and if we do the Haitian-led project where you can grow your own food. 30 years ago, Haiti was growing its own food, feeding itself, and sending some export to regional markets for some of its indigenous fruits that are particular to Haiti. It can still happen. It can still continue. And those are the projects that we're looking to finance at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership, where we're saying, hey, listen, okay, right now the only thing holding up Haitians, the most important thing in terms of money, the reason why Haitians don't die, it's not because of foreign aid, but it's because of the remittances from the Haitian diaspora.
Mm.
It is the Haitian diaspora that holds
supporting
up Haiti. And according to the UNDP, United Nations Development arm, Haitians send more money at home, and the Haitian nationals, than any other nationality. Right now, it's $2 billion per year.
Wow. So, well, in the world?
In the world.
Wow.
Okay, we send more money to our people because we know we're the only ones that can save our people. The only bad part about it is, well, anyways, I won't go into that because I know you want me to be real positive. I'm going to try to be. we send $2 billion per year to Haiti. And that is the money that goes directly in the hands of our sisters, our brothers, our mothers, our relatives. The area, for instance, where my parents have lived, we have a thing called La Coupe, because Haitians have an economic system that the United States hates. Our economic system is very ancient and is very old. We have a La Coupe, that is the land where the family is sort of a family compound.
Yes.
So that in my Laku, in the area where my family lives, my mother's sister, my mother's brother, my grandmother, my great grandmother, my aunt, my second cousin, you know, they all live in the same area.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like that in West Africa, in Igbo culture, we have that
exactly.
A family
they
compound.
Share,
yes.
They all have this common garden where they plant. And they
yes.
All build together.
Yes.
And it's called combeat. It's a system they call combeat. Well, that is the reason we've survived. And now with the money that comes in from abroad, they buy manufactured goods that they don't grow. But when you have a system where they're being pushed off their lands and they're being forced into because, you know, what after they eat, supposedly then they go in and as I said before, they bring to market the rest in order to have capital income. But that U.S. policy dumping food means that it destroys the small farmer. And so a lot of folks, you know, especially our very, schooled Haitians have left Haiti. And the brain drain is tremendous. I mean, as a matter of fact, during the 2004 coup d'etat, Canada offered visas for educated Haitians. And if you go to Quebec now, most of their municipal employees are Haitian. So they benefit from destroying our country because it forces the school people to go find work elsewhere, and they'll give them visas. And so those are that's the scenario. But but Haitians will not let Haiti die. It's not ever going to happen.
No, I don't believe that will ever happen.
We exist. We are the living libraries of the ancestors' triumph. And even if the only thing we can do at this moment is to leave what we were left behind so that the next generation can build on it until